So he said that if the agent were man enough he could come and get his scalp. Then he said, "I am the man, to Wahonganiwa. If you ever want to come out, get. No one else but to Wahonganiwa. I am not your friend." When this was written, the missionary enclosed the letter in an envelope and gave it to the policeman to take into the agency. This was how the two factions and all the trouble over sending the children to school was started among the Hopi. From then on, Chief Tawahonganiwa had many followers in both Mishongnovi and Chipalovi, and every now and then he would hold a council with his fellow men. Then later, many people of the other villages took up his side, excepting First Mesa. When they split, those that wanted to go to school went right on, but the chief's relatives had to take his side and held their children back. This was about 1888. Or 1889. Every once in a while the agent would send out the policeman. If they were expecting them, the parents would have to go out early with their children to the hiding places under the cliffs. Not finding any children, the policeman would go back. Finally, the policeman thought of the scheme of coming into the villages at night. In that way they got quite a few children, and they took them off to Keams Canyon to boarding school. Of course, this was very unpleasant for the Hopis, for they never before had parted with any of their children. So the chief at Mishongnovi thought that it would be best to let their children be sent to school with their own consent. About this time, the army, a troop of Negro soldiers, was sent out to the Hopi villages to see if they could make the old chief at Chipalovi change his mind about sending his children to school. They did not stop at Chipalovi very long, but went on to Arabi, where there were more people. There they were met by the chief, Lolo Lama, and he was very friendly to them and said he was willing to send his children to school. He wanted to take advantage of what the outcome would be of sending the children to school. After he made this agreement, Yukshima jumped on him and they quarreled. This was the first time that Lolo Lama had found out that Yukshima was the leader of this other faction. 58. But Lolo Lama, being the chief, said that the children who were old enough to go to the Keams Canyon school could be taken. Now from then on, these two men were against each other, and each man wanted to see how many followers he could have. These hostile leaders would have meetings at every other village ever so often, and they would lecture to the people, telling them that the ones who were sending their children to school would be in worse trouble, because the Bahana who established the school was not their true brother who had come up from the underworld with them. If he was, he would have shown the Hopis his written tradition to compare with their tradition. So this faction felt that they would rather wait for their Bahana brother to come with this written story of their ancestors. This sort of trouble got very bad among the people themselves, and the leaders of each faction, of course, were working against one another to see who would have the most followers. On account of many good useful things, like tools, such as axes and hoes, clothing and sugar and coffee, some of the hostile faction people began falling off, thinking that the idea of being a hostile was just the idea of preventing the people from having these things. Finally it got so there were very few hostiles left at Chipalovi and Mishongnovi, but there were quite a number at Shungpovi, so the ones at Chipalovi moved over to Shungpovi. This move occurred in 1899. Crane and Bear Clans. 59. How Hotavilla and Bakavi were founded. While the Chipalovi hostiles were living over at Shungpovi, they were very much stronger against the school. The agent would send out policemen every once in a while to try to get their leader, to Wahonganiwa. Of course those policemen did not have much authority, so they could not take him. He would put up a big fight, and his sons were the ones who would do the fighting. These policemen were mostly Navajos. The move to Shengpovi occurred after the people had the smallpox and the government was fumigating all the villages. The government people were trying to get these hostels over to the Toriva school to give them a good cleaning up. So they could give them clean clothes and burn up what they were wearing, but these hostels did not want to go there, because they did not want to put on what the government would issue to them. So finally the agent had to send out a regiment, composed of colored soldiers from Fort Wingate. When these soldiers arrived, the hostel women made up a lot of piki and took it over to the soldiers to feed them, thinking that the soldiers might recognize them when they came up to the mesa. The next morning the captain sent over a soldier to warn the people that they must be ready to come right along, otherwise there would be some shooting. But Tawahonganuwa refused to do as he was bid and said he would not go. He said if they wanted to take him they would have to kill him, so he called all his followers, women, and all, to one house. Whoever was an officer or priest of some kind in some of the societies would take in an image or emblem to put in the house. One of these families happened to have the image of the war god Piakangoya. This little image was put up by the door, for they thought he might have some power to help them. When the soldiers came up on top of the mesa they were lined up about 1/4 mile outside the village and from there the captain sent in policemen to ask these hostiles to surrender. They were asked 4 times, but they refused every time. So the captain thought it was time to march up. When they got there, they surrounded this house and the captain went to the house himself and asked them if they were ready to surrender and they refused again, so then it was time to take them by force, so he gave orders to the soldiers to take picks and dig around the walls and on the house tops. There must have been about 75 or 100 people in this house. Just as soon as the picks were seen coming through the roofs they all started to run out and as they did this they were taken hold of by the soldiers. 60. The leader was the last one to come out and just as soon as he was outside the door he was grabbed by the soldiers and his 5 sons piled up on them and the fight began. They fought there for quite a while. All the hostile people were fighting with the soldiers, hand to hand. Finally the old chief was knocked out and all the sons had their hands tied up behind their backs. Their father was strapped onto a horse. And they were all taken to the Toriva school and there they were given baths and clean clothes and what clothes they had on were taken away and burned. The smallpox epidemic had not yet spread to Arabi which was well guarded so that nobody could go there. The agent's name was Miguel and the man in charge of the fumigation, etc., was Sam Shoemaker. Most of the leading men of the hostels were put under arrest and taken to Keams Canyon the next day and then on to Fort Defiance. They were kept at Fort Defiance for about 90 days and after that they were sent home, on their agreement that they would behave themselves. When they got home they turned back and were just as hostile as before they were taken. They said the white man was a fool to let them go, for he was just fooled by them. They didn't make very much trouble from then on, though their ideas against the schools were just as strong as ever and the two factions would be saying all kinds of things about one another. They were quiet from then on, but, of course, many of their followers began to fall away from the hostels because they thought that the chief at Shengpovi had not recognized them, so some of these people went back to Shapalavi. The trouble started again in the year 1906, and this was between the same two factions. It started in Shengpovi and this was during the time of the bean dance. The hostels did not plant their crop of beans with the others and 8 days later they came into the kiva to plant their crop. One kiva was divided up part hostels and part friendlies. The night of the dance, they asked these hostels to get their plants out of the kiva because some young Children who were not initiated into the Kachina ceremony would see the plants. But these men refused to take their plants away because it was against their law to take plants out of the kiva before their time. So in order to have a dance, they brought in several wedding robes so as to hide the plants from the children. From then on, those people were always fighting one another. So again the hostile leader decided to leave. From there to Wahonganiwa, and 25 to 30 men and women moved to Orebi. By this time Lolo Lama was dead and his nephew, Twe Kwaptewa, was then chief of Orebi, but Yukshima was stronger at this time. 61. When they got to the mesa top at Orebi, Yukshima's men met them. These men sprinkled sacred cornmeal on the path that the Shungpovi people followed to the village. Of course this was not the proper thing to do, for Yukshima was usurping the chief's function and Chief Twe Kwaptewa did not like it. The leading men from both sides held council every once in a while, trying to see what must be done with these people who were being taken in by Yukshima, and Yukshima always said that he had as much right to do this as the chief. It was his theory that he was going to follow out what his great uncles had taught him of their traditions. This tradition told him that he was to destroy Orebi or be destroyed himself. He belonged to the Fire or Masawa clan.